The Lord be with you.
Hallelujah.
Welcome in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings on our time together. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn is number 909, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation. Please stand on the last verse of that hymn. And following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 and following. Worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. The propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Two options for the hymn of praise. We'll sing the Gloria today. I want to thank everyone who pitched in and worked so hard to make our vicar roast and farewell and load up the truck on Friday. All those things happen. Vicar Williams and Jill and Ephraim are with us yet this morning, and you may have noticed the truck that is loaded and ready to go. So as soon as church is over, they're going to hit the road. It's been a great year. Thanks be to God, and God's blessings to you, not only as you do a little traveling and vacationing over the next couple of weeks, but during this next year. It's been great. Thanks be to God. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings you shower down upon us. We especially today, Lord, thank you for the gift of peace. Peace, which is the forgiveness of sins, won by the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, there are so many times when we look for peace in all the wrong places. There are so many times when we listen for a message of peace, but we know that message is not true peace, for it doesn't come from you. Heavenly Father, bless us today with attentive ears and hearts that truly believe your word and your peace. Bless us with this good news today, tomorrow, forever. In the name and for the sake of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Hymn 909.
Thank you.
151. Page 151. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your presence. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit. Salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. To God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth.
Lord, our heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship You, we give You thanks, we praise You for Your glory. Lord, lead us right.
God, You declare Your almighty power above all in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant us such a measure of Your grace that we may obtain Your gracious promises and be made partakers of Your heavenly treasures. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the 10th Sunday after Trinity is from Jeremiah chapter 8. You shall say to them, "Thus says the Lord, when men fall, do they not rise again? If one turns away, does he not return? Why then has this people turned away in perpetual backsliding? They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I have paid attention and listened, but they have not spoken rightly. No man relents of his evil, saying, 'What have I done?' Everyone turns to his own course, like a horse plunging headlong into battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her times, and the turtle dove, swallow, and crane keep the time of their coming. But my people know not the just decrees of the Lord. How can you say, 'We are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us'? But behold, the lying pen of the scribes has made it into a lie. The wise men shall be put to shame. They shall be dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom is in them? Therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to conquerors. Because from the least to the greatest, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. From prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' where there is no peace. Were they shamed, when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among the fallen when I punish them. They shall be overthrown, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together, our gradual. Keep me
as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. From your presence let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right.
The epistle is from Romans, chapters 9 and 10. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it? That is, a righteousness that is by faith? But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law? Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame." Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For, being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God, and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand now for the Holy Gospel. We continue with the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. When Jesus drew near and saw the city, He wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation." And He entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And He was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy Him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on His words. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Continue now with our sermon hymn 728, "How Firm a Foundation."
healed the wounds of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is the Old Testament lesson read a few moments ago from the 8th chapter of the prophet Jeremiah, dear friends, in Christ. False teachers tell you everything is just fine. No need to worry. No need to be concerned. No need to change anything you're doing. Everything is just fine. In fact, it's good and getting better. Progress is happening and it will continue. Times, or usually they say seasons, of abundance and prosperity are just ahead. And we used to believe them, but no longer. From Trump to Sanders to Brexit, people are dissatisfied with the status quo. They are increasingly willing to show it. There is an anti-establishment fervor filling the Western world. People are hungry for change. They are no longer listening to the voices who tell them everything is just fine. The voices that preach unlimited progress, who try to convince you to just stay the course. Just go to the movie theater. Not that long ago, films about the future were optimistic, clean, and beautiful. But if you go today, what you see is a vision of a dystopic future. A future where everything is not fine. Where there has been war and disaster, where technology has failed on its promise, where everything has been torn apart. Destruction and deprivation are the image that we fill our minds with when we think of the future in the media. And so, when we really think of it, deep down, we believe that everything is not fine. And we quite rightly fear for the future. But does this anti-establishment mood, this rebellion against the assertion that everything is just fine, also enter the church? We doubt that everything is just fine in the world. But what about our own heart? There, we are much more likely to believe someone who tells us that everything is just fine. In our churches, there is definitely an anti-establishment mood, but, ironically, people are running away from the traditional church to those who will tell them that everything is just fine. Those who avoid condemning anyone or anything. And God has very little patience with such teachers. They have healed the wounds of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. False teachers preach a false peace. They tell you that everything is just fine in your heart, that you have no sin, or at least no sin worth worrying about. They leave you to wallow in your depravity. They leave you to live how you want to. And they tell you that everything is just fine between you and your God. There is no need to repent. And you see, that's the message that we want to hear, isn't it? We want to be told that our lifestyle is just fine, that there's no need to worry, that God doesn't care, or He really isn't all that upset, no matter what we do. We listen to those voices who scratch our itching ears. Those who say, "We are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us." We want to live following our own desires without interference. We want to be affirmed in our behavior, not called out on it. God asks, "When men fall, do they not rise again? If one turns away, does he not return?" Certainly people climb back on their feet when they fall, even if they need help and assistance in doing so. But false teachers watch you fall to the ground in your sin. And then they tell you that the ground is where you belong. There you can be yourself. There you can live how God made you. False teachers are much more concerned with affirming the fallen than in helping them get back on their feet. False teachers leave you secure in your sins. They say, "Peace, peace," where there is no peace between you and God. And so you are left by them to indulge your sin, to live in it, to become like those whom God condemns in our text. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. "I have paid attention and listened, but they have not spoken rightly. No man relents of his evil, saying, 'What have I done?' Everyone turns to his own course, like a horse plunging headlong into battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her times, and the turtle dove, swallow, and crane keep the time of their coming. But my people know not the rules of the Lord." False teachers leave you unprepared, ill-equipped for the day of Christ's return or the day of your death. You are left simply to plunge headlong, like a war horse, a charging war horse, from one sin to another, without being warned of the consequences, without knowing the time. False teachers, God says, have healed the wounds of my people lightly. They have barely scratched the surface. They have simply whitewashed a tomb. They have made you look better outwardly without going to your heart. Their healing was superficial, cosmetic. They simply helped you feel better about yourself and your sin. But they have preached a false peace. God has no peace with the unrepentant. Were they ashamed when they committed abominations? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. You do not know how to blush because false teachers teach you to be proud of your sins. And thus, through their negligence, you are exposed to the consequences. "Therefore they shall fall among the fallen. When I punish them, they shall be overthrown." False teachers are very popular this side of the grave. Those who encourage you to indulge your sin, to live the way you think is right, or else those who more subtly encourage sin by talking about anything else, will fill churches and arenas. They will sell thousands, millions of books, and they will be the special guests on all the popular talk shows. But at the time of death, on the last day, their popularity will very quickly evaporate. For their hearers will realize that they have been sold a false peace. The wise men shall be put to shame. They shall be dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom is in them? Therefore I will give their wives to others and their fields to conquerors, because from the least to the greatest, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. From prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. On that day, all who listen to the voice of false teachers and refuse to repent will learn just how false those false teachers were. They will understand that though their teachers preached peace, there really was no peace. True teachers, on the other hand, are very unpopular in this world. They don't have the crowds, they don't sell nearly so many books, and they usually don't get invited back on all the talk shows. For it is their task to call you out on your sin, to summon you to repentance, to show to you the wrath of God and warn you from it. It is the task of a true teacher, a task that hits us hard, to remind you of the time that Christ is coming soon, that your life could be demanded of you at any moment, and therefore repent. It is the task of the true teacher to stand in front of the charging horse with the sword of God's word unsheathed, standing between you and your sin, calling you to repentance. It is the task of the true teacher to help you to your feet when you have fallen into sin. The true teacher doesn't simply preach the law and leave you laying on the ground, but he stays to encourage you, to help you to stand. It is the task of the true teacher to bring true healing. Healing that goes to the very heart of the matter, quite literally. The false teacher says, peace, peace, where there is no peace between God and man. The true teacher brings to you the only one who truly has peace to give, Jesus Christ. God calls His people to repentance, not so that He can make them feel bad, not so that He can make their lives miserable, but so that He can heal them with the balm of the gospel. He loves you so much that He sends to you messengers to call you out of your sin, which can only lead to death, to receive His Son's blood-bought forgiveness, which gives you life. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation, eternal life and salvation from the shackles of death and hell. God refused to leave you in your sin, but He sent His Son Jesus to suffer, to die, to rise again, to forgive that sin. The death of Jesus brings you true peace. It reconciles you with your God so that you are now at peace with Him, now and for eternity. That is the peace that the true preachers bring. Not the false peace of ignoring sin, but the true peace of forgiving it. Jesus brings the healing that you need. Not cosmetic healing to make you look better to the world, to make you feel better about your sin, but the true healing you need. That radical surgery, giving to you a new heart, putting your sinful nature to death and raising you up in newness of life at the font and every day since. Therefore, true preachers don't stop preaching when you become a Christian. True teachers do not help you up only once. True teachers are concerned with how you live your life as a Christian. They will call on you to live as who you are, a child of God, covered in the blood of the Lamb. They will warn you not to fall back into sin. False teachers say that the Christian is done with the law. False Christians say that grace and gospel is all that matters to the Christian. True teachers, on the other hand, will instruct you out of God's law. They will rebuke you when you fall back into unrepentant sin. They will call on you to live a life of daily repentance in accord with God's word. True teachers know that you wear that old Adam around your neck, and thus you need to be called back to the font to drown him as often as you sin. True teachers don't say, "Everything is just fine." They are honest. They do not say, "Peace, peace," where there is no peace. They do not give you any false illusions. True teachers know the effect of sin. They know the reality of suffering. They know the certainty of death. And they know that both history and the Scriptures teach that any human progress is fleeting. They have another message, one that on the surface doesn't seem to be all that much different, but in reality is worlds apart. Everything will be good. True teachers don't speak the lie that everything is fine in this world. They speak the truth that in the end, Christ will return in triumph. That even now, as you suffer and struggle, Christ is enthroned. And you, dear friends, are an heir of heaven. It is their task to comfort you with the promise of ultimate peace. That Christ crucified is risen and sits at the right hand of the throne of God, and will return from there to renew and remake the heavens and the earth. Everything is not fine, but everything will be good, because Jesus died for you, and He lives for you. We already know the end of the story, and it's a happy one. We've read the last page, and it shows us Jesus coming back to raise you from your graves and establish the new heavens and the new earth. This world quite rightly knows that everything is not fine. And you only have to watch the news, see the protests to agree with them. But know this, dear friends, I have a message for you this day that the news cannot give you. Everything will be good. For despite all that you see, Christ died for you, Christ rose for you, and Christ will return for you. In His name, Amen. Having heard the word of our Lord, we stand and we confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten and not made, being of one substance with the Father, who are our sin and for our salvation, came
God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Father, in Your Son, Christ Jesus, You have made us to know the things that make for peace. Having been reconciled to You through His death and resurrection, we beg You to hear our prayer. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, make us to hallow Your name, both here in this place, through pure and right teaching, and also in our lives, as we live as Your dear children, according to Your Word. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant that Your kingdom would come speedily, that forgiveness would be proclaimed throughout the world, and that mercy would be shown. Bless the relief agencies of our synod as they bring the comfort of Your kingdom to those who are suffering. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bring about Your good and gracious will. Bless all those You have given authority in our government, that they would rightly break and hinder the plans of the wicked, but reward and encourage that which is righteous and good. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Teach us to be wise and generous with the daily bread that You provide for us. For You are generous to us, so that we might be generous to others. Defend us from all greed, and make us to remember that our security is not in our wealth, but in Your abundant care. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As You know how Satan and sin set us against each other, fill us with Your love and Your forgiveness, that we would be quick to forgive others and be defended from grudges, disdain, and animosity that would blind us to the love You have given for those, even for those who are our enemies. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Defend us from temptation, good Lord, for Satan is crafty and ever finds new ways to lead us astray. Make us to cling to Your Word at all times, giving us the Holy Spirit, that we would be kept steadfast in the faith and share in Christ's victory. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Deliver Your servants from all evils of body and soul. Provide for those who are lacking. Grant endurance to those who suffer from any affliction, including those that we lay before You in our individual prayer requests. And if it is Your will, speedily restore them to health. Keep us all together in the ark of Your church until the last hour comes and we know Your deliverance in full. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
The kingdom belongs to Your Son, Christ Jesus, who makes us partakers of His glory and power in His own body and blood in His supper. Grant that all who are called to this supper today would give a glad amen to all the gifts that He gives us there. Lord, in Your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into Your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in Your mercy through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, the Prince of Peace and the Bringer of True Peace. This time we ask that you would participate in what we call the Rite of Fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. This time also we worship God with our gifts and offerings. Special welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. continuing on with our offertory, page 159. Please stand. And salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and in the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship. With the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Continue now with the post-communion canticle, the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Please stand. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. This time I would like to invite our new vicar, Evan Scammon, to come forward, along with the elders who are with us here in the congregation. Yeah, that's right. Right there. Dearly beloved, I guess we probably should not have a wedding here. That was yesterday. Wrong ribbon. Brothers and sisters in Christ, according to the usual custom of the church, Evan Scammon has been assigned to Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School as a vicar. As a student assigned to our congregation and school, he will continue his education in preparation for service to the church as a called worker. Hear what the Word of God says about those who serve in the church. Working together with him, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In a favorable time, I listened to you, and in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry, but as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way." 2 Corinthians 6. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another, as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4. Evan, are you prepared to serve as vicar in this congregation under the supervision of the pastors, undertaking your assignments as one who seeks training for the office of the holy ministry? If so, then answer, "I am with the help of God."
I am with the help of God.
Can I kneel? Okay. All right. Evan Scammon, I install you as vicar at Good Shepherd Lutheran School in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would like to invite now the elders of our congregation to offer a blessing from God's Word.
Evan. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That's from Deuteronomy chapter 6. May the Lord bless you and direct you in your work. May He give you strength to meet your needs. And may you always know the contentment and joy of sharing His message with others.
And my verse is Psalm 25:5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you, I wait all day long.
And St. Paul writes to the Galatians, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world.
Vicar Evans, I heard the prayer of Paul from the church in the book of Ephesians, the church that you are now a servant of. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly and all that we ask or think, according to the power at which that work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Evan, this is from Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ.
Evan, this is Isaiah 41:10.